All right, everyone. Good evening, and welcome back to the QS Cast. We have a somber and sobered up Tarkan. Just got out of bed. No, we have a sedated. I think sedated is probably a better term. But
I'm all right. I mean,
you're fine.
I was a little misty eyed when you're like, "Hey, let's cast." But you know, I'm quick on the trigger finger. So I'm like, "I got you, Chaz. I'm on it. I'm on it.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate that. This is why we love you. I mean, well." I think we can just start off the cast. I mean, we're going to have a normal we're going to try to transition into a normal schedule for the cast. Well, in terms of structure of the cast that we normally do, you know, we talk about the topics that we talk about. But we had a little bit of a scare there, still like kind of developing, but it seems to be a false alarm in terms of Jace, the Mind Sculptor, being unbanned accidentally on the MTGO beta and ensnaring bridge being banned. That's still developing, but it looks to be like a false alarm.
Yeah. And I mean, this is notoriously is beginning to happen every year. I think it was last year was when someone like created that really, really, really accurate fake wizard official WotC announcement for paper. I think it was last year or the year before. And I mean, it was, you know, it took some investigation for people to catch that it wasn't real. But, you know, this seems to always be happening. I think it's actually like occurred probably for the past 2 or 3 years. Like someone's just quote unquote leaked something or got inside information or something. But yeah.
This definitely happens in card games. I mean, for those that were new to like card games via Hearthstone and you know games like Yu-Gi-Oh and that was just mentioned in the chat, that's definitely true, and Magic for those, like it even happened in Hearthstone, and then people will be dusting cards to try and get the, you know, the dust back, and you know, people just have a laugh over it. But and this is why we had you jump up out of bed, Tark, because you know, when stuff like this happens, like, you know, definitely is it can be kind of frantic, can cause some, you know, obviously some panic stuff, but we try to remain calm around here. I think the thing at this point, I think that in order to hedge against just all this nonsense, I would just have a set, if you haven't had it already. I mean, I have a set of them just in case. I mean, if you want to go, I mean, it's all these scares and kind of just these reprints that kind of just keep in mind that, like, just keep it in the back of your mind that this could happen. So, you know, have a playset for yourself. And if you want to go get an extra playset, I mean, this is not a cheap card to go out and just kind of, you know, buy into hoping this, you know, spikes. I mean, I'm sure it would, but it would be obviously better if this wasn't a $50, $60 card already. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you take a look at, to your point, if you take a look at, like, the Eternal Masters version, I think it retails for between 50 and 60 bucks. And you can, I mean, there's buy lists out there in the 40, you know, that are 40 and above, right? I mean, I think it's like through QS, MTG Seattle's paying like $41.50 on it. I mean, that's not bad, you know? I mean, look, you know, like you said, as a hedge, why not? I mean, I've said this in Discord and other places. I am prepared for Jace to be unbanned. I think there's a variety of reasons, both play and business, that justify unbanning Jace. I think you're going to sell a crap load of M25, which they're going to do anyway. But you know, I don't think the card is as oppressive as it used to be. That's a strategy discussion a week that I'm sure you can discuss with Seth on another cast or other people elsewhere. But financially, I think there's no problem just getting some just to be safe. I mean, you know,
yeah.
If nothing happens. You take store credit and you collect your cash and you move on.
You just hold them. It's like, yeah. These types of cards aren't bad to hold on to. I mean, you're not going to have a hard time moving these. You know, Legacy is still somewhat a thing. People still, you know, this is still a sought after card. I mean, desirability in this card.
Exactly. It's like you're talking about a card basically almost more iconic than Magic than Goyf. Goyf had so many printings. This really only has one reprint. I mean, yeah, go ahead and grab a set. Just have them. I think it's a wise idea, especially around now. I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen? Yeah, maybe nothing happens. But you know, you've got a set of Jace and you just hold on to it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry. I mean, then, you know, they unban it and you have your copies already. And if you want to go get an extra playset just to kind of have around to sell into the hype, you have it.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to just keep acquiring them over, you know, a period of time, I mean, it's not, again, it's not a horrible card to be hoarding.
Yeah.
You know, or just have like at least a personal playset and then a funsies playset, you know, in case something crazy happens. So I already have my personal playset, like whether they unban Jace or not. I mean, I don't really play as much modern anyway anymore. So I mean, if they unban it, I just sell my playset and, you know, that's the end of it. Like,
Do you have predictions? Speaking of BNR, let's just see what you think overall, Jazz. I'm curious because I actually don't know.
I'm going with no changes. I'm actually going with no changes. I know Lantern Control is like this kind of weird, you know, uninteractive deck that nobody likes to play against. But I mean, it won a Pro Tour. That's great. But like, it doesn't really. It's still like a tier two deck. So it just happened to be. You know, it just happened to have good matchups. You know, the pilot was very good at it. You know, it's very hard to pilot. Extremely hard. I mean, I was doing the coverage with Gervais over the weekend, you know, and Efren was helping out. Actually, shout out to Efren and Gervais really quickly for the PT coverage.
Awesome job.
Can't thank you enough. Yeah, we did a great job. But I mean, you know, and I actually happened to watch the deck tech for this with the Pro Tour winner. Or eventual Pro Tour winner, didn't win the Pro Tour at that point, but it's just very hard to play. So, and you know, this was one of the more entertaining, diverse, and fun way Pro Tour that we've seen in a while. Firstly, because it was just great for, you know, everyone following along with our coverage, and a lot of folks definitely did well for themselves, which is great. But you know, it was just good from a play perspective too, because Modern is a very healthy format. It's what every format they may should strive to be at this point, because it's very good. So they could do something. I just don't see why they would. So I'm not ruling it out, but my gut feeling says they don't change anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm slightly more cynical in that I think that they use the ban restricted list for some subtle business reasons as well as just play reasons. Sure. It should just be for play reasons, but I think they could go, you know, yeah, Jace isn't that bad anymore, or so we think, and so pros tell us in our quote unquote testing or whatever they do to determine unbans. And you know, we want to make sure, like, you know, we have a hot Masters set because the last one was eh. And so let's go ahead and unban that. And I think Bloodbraid Elf could be unbanned as well. I don't think Bloodbraid Elf is very oppressive anymore. I don't believe Stoneforge Mystic, which I've seen people talk about. I don't think there's any way that card's getting unbanned. And I actually think that the Ensnaring Bridge ban, I know that the MTGO one was fake, but I think that's kind of an interesting ban, not just because of Lantern, but I think that just a card like Ensnaring Bridge is not very fun when it lands. I mean, I think
it's not.
It stops a lot of decks. So I could see that's actually an interesting one to consider as a ban, just because it's just not a fun card in general. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just, they land that and then the strategy is done.
Yeah. It's a relic of days past, you know?
So that's an interesting one to consider, but I'm less convinced that would actually happen as a ban. And as far as Lantern, I 100% agree with you. I don't think people realize how difficult that deck is to play. And the argument I heard was, well, it won a Pro Tour. That means everyone's going to play it and it's going to be tier one. Well, first of all, everybody that picks it up is not going to be able to do well with it. Hence, they're not going to put up the results that people think that they're going to do, or they're going to realize, wow, this deck is annoying because I have to, it's so intricate and yada, yada. I think Lantern is, it's well positioned when it's well positioned. I don't think it's just this abusive tier, you know, hard tier one strategy. It just happened to be in a meta that it was very well tuned for, and so it did well. Like, you know, great.
I mean, it's getting to a point in Modern, and this is a really good thing, honestly, that like there's no real like tiers anymore. Like, yeah, there's the overall like good matchup decks like Grixis Delver. You have, you have your Affinity, you have your humans now. It's pretty good. A lot of pros were on that this over the past weekend. But I mean, there's just so much success in Modern. That, you know, the tiers, you know, a lot of that is just very blurred lines at this point. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's just like at any one point, any deck could take down a Pro Tour at this point or a GP. And you see that happen a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I was actually more interested in how, I mean, every year that we've had a Modern Pro Tour, there's been a seasonal, you know, there's been all this pattern of seasonal buying behavior where you would have cards being bought up, you know, right before the Pro Tour. that didn't happen this year. And then after I thought about it, well, okay, that makes sense. We're just coming off of like not only Christmas, but multiple releases. And then there's Masters 25 coming right after the Pro Tour. I guess it makes sense that people are being cautious. But I thought that was really interesting because really outside of Bedlam Reveler, there was nothing that was like, whoa, that out of the ordinary that happened. Or, you know, it's really interesting because they've done – Wizards has done a good job of crafting the market – I guess I don't say crafting the marketplace, the secondary market. But they've done a good job of tempering buying behavior so it doesn't get crazy. And that's good. I mean, honestly, you know, yeah, it's not as fun for us. But overall, that means that the you know, it's a healthier market. And so, yeah, I mean, I was a bit surprised. But after I thought about it, it makes sense. So I don't think, and I also don't think moving forward that I don't think we're going to see another Modern Pro Tour for a little while. For people talking about that, I think that's probably true. I think that they're probably, I think Modern Pro Tours are like something that they throw in the mix every once in a while. I don't think this is going to be like a hard scheduling. I could be wrong though. I mean, I would love to see them do a Modern Pro Tour like this every year, but I feel like this is something that they are going to change up. I think the Pro Tour schedule is going to be primarily standard, and they're just going to have one that they change up every year.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't make any bad points there. I mean, I pretty much agree, and very good points made. I'll tell you what, if standard is going to continue to be like this, they should keep doing Modern Pro Tours, because that was actually, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, it was actually concerning to a point where it's like, you know, this is so much more entertaining and this format is so much better. Why would anyone want to watch like standard at this point? I mean, it's like, such a downer going back to like, oh, well, here's standard again. Wonder what five cards like they'll, you know, they'll ban this time because this crap is
it's crap.
Yeah. So, you know, so it was a good and a bad thing at the same time. I mean, I really hope, you know, Dominaria is probably going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting, but you know, we just got to get out of this. Like, and it almost just feels like every time we talk about it, like, we just got to get to a rotation. We just got to get to a rotation. It's like, after a while, you're going to lose people. I mean, it's like, when is this just going to be enjoyable again? I mean, it's been a while now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing comments about how, you know, standard's getting stale. I actually don't think standard looks that bad. I mean, I was just recently checking out this, there was like a big PTQ in that SCG hosted, I guess. And I mean, I look at the top eight here and it's pretty diverse. I mean, like,
no, it's fine. It's fine right now, but it's not like, in, you know, it's not like enjoyable.
Well, there's a lot of leftover bad will and, you know, bad taste in people's mouths and, you know, fatigue from before. Yep. So I agree.
Definitely lingering.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think there's so much hype behind Dominaria that, that I really hope it does do something. I think it will. I mean, that's a completely different world. I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I mean, there's so much just not even standard, just in general hype around Dominaria. So many people are excited about that set. Yeah. So
I know that's trending away from Modern a little bit, but I mean, I do think you're right. I do think Modern Pro Tours will kind of just be sprinkled in there, kind of, you know, and to keep things interesting, and to keep it at least like in people's minds that this format does exist. They are continuing to promote it and, you know, cultivate it and support it with, you know, master sets and such. But I do think they will stagger, you know, continue to stagger the Modern Pro Tours and continue to stagger master sets at this point, you know, because I think they just kind of released a lot really fast within a couple of years. So I think they put out enough, you know, reprints and just cards in general that I think they can kind of tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this in the Discord too, but
you know, organic growth, you know, kind of happen again.
Absolutely, yeah. There's like rumors going around, completely unconfirmed. It's totally rumors, but there is rumors that, you know, they're going to scale back on the master sets, you know, and have them be sort of special, a specialty thing for, you know, after M25, they're just going to cool it for a while, which I think would be amazing. I would love to have a year where there's just no, where, you know, we have core sets and you get some reprints in that, you know, they're cool, but, you know, we don't need masters every,
I'm okay with throwing in, and I'm okay with them throwing in cards into like commander sets and what have you, you know, whatever supplemental product comes out. But I think just, we need a little bit of a breather from master sets. And that sounds crazy because I'm all for keeping you know, things kind of even keel here and keeping, you know, enough supply out there because there's just a ton of players now. But I think we're at a point where we can kind of take a step back a little bit.
Well, and from a buying behavior perspective,
yeah,
you know, people are slowly getting a little tired of it. And then especially after you have debacles like Iconic Master and whatnot, it's like, right, you just want to make people excited again. I mean, I remember when
you do
when Masters 2015 was, I mean, people were losing their minds. I mean, yeah, print runs a separate thing, but like people were so excited because of the first one. I mean, I think you want to get back to getting people excited again. And I disagree with the arguments. Like, there are arguments to say, oh, well, you know, you'll never get the hype that you had with Masters 2013 or 2015 or whatever, like, because of the damage they've done from these other matches. I don't agree with that. I think the buying community moves on from things very quickly due to like short attention spans. They,
yep,
you know, they'll forget, and then you go, you take a little break, and then you announce some cool match set and everybody's excited again. Like, So I really hope that's true. We'll see. I mean, apparently at one point in time they were thinking about doing a second Master set this year, and now we have no idea, you know. And again, these rumors that they're gonna pull back. So I hope this is it. I hope this is the last master set for like the next, honestly, even 2 years would be nice. Like, I would love to not see another one through,
yeah,
through like maybe winter of 2019 or something.
Yeah, and I agree. And we talked about this. I don't know if it was the last cast or the cast prior to that, but we definitely had a long discussion about that where we kind of got heated. But it was kind of like a mixture of everything where we talked about Arena and all that. I'm assuming another cast is going to come up like that again. Might actually happen a little bit each cast. But yeah, people's attention spans definitely, like, there definitely can be hype driven around a master set again. It just, you need to like stagger them a little bit. And like I said, I mean, they released them in such a rapid kind of succession here. I mean, we had like four master sets in the course of like 2-3 years, right?
Yeah.
2015. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like 3 years. We had like four master sets. So
yeah, it's crazy.
This is going to be four. So that's a lot. So, yeah, I think they can definitely kind of take a little bit of break and you know, kind of rehype a master set again. And it just needs to happen because there needs to be some organic growth a little bit again. As crazy as that sounds, you know, from a player's perspective, you do need some of these cards to kind of gain a little bit of traction again. I mean, from a financial perspective, they were all pretty successful. I mean, Iconic Masters aside, and we can argue with success. I mean, you had cards like Grove of the Burnwells go from like a $60 card down to like barely 10, you know, $8 yep. card. So they mostly did their job. And that's why I'm confident in saying, you know, you could definitely take a little bit of a break and just kind of, you know, let it be.
And speaking of Iconic Masters, I mean, I know everybody views it as a massive fail from like the retail price point, but it did, to my knowledge, mostly sell through. Like, I don't think there's much of that. I mean, it's not like we have stockpiles of Iconic Masters sitting around. Like, everyone just burnt through that. Yeah, they were cheap, but like, you know, those boxes, by the way, I am confident are eventually going to start to go up again. I'll go up just like all of them. Like, they, you know, these master sets, while, you know, sometimes some of them seem like they're kind of crappy, they're, you know, they sell, they've all sold really well. So, you know, keep that in mind when it's the, like, the fact that everyone had to fire sell, there was some, you know, they're the sort of the bad energy, the negative energy that surrounded Iconic Masters. And so, yeah, man, I'm totally agree with you. And hopefully they do kind of chill out.
So, that being said, Tark, you think Bloodbraid Elf can come off? You think Jace?
I think Bloodbraid Elf can come off. I think Jace can come off.
But yes. Do you think there's something going to happen Monday?
Do I actually think they're going to pull the trigger?
Like, is something going to happen Monday?
Yes, I think there will. Yes, I believe there will be changes to the modern ban list. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going with no changes. And sorry for the crazy scare, everyone. You know, I didn't really mean to send out, you know, I wanted at least kind of keep people posted because I sent out that first notification and I didn't want to leave people hanging. So as I kind of got more information, I updated because, you know, it could easily turn into bedlam, and I just don't want, you know, we usually always keep our cool around here. So I just didn't want like craziness to happen. And I was kind of peeved because like, why do they got to do this at like 9 o'clock at night?
Speaking of bedlam, you reminded me, big shout out to Rob San Juan, who is a writer in QS. He does the daily picks articles. Last month, he not only called Bedlam Reveler, he called Bedlam Reveler to top eight the Pro Tour. So big shout out to Rob San Juan. If you guys don't read his articles, you should. He's, you know, sometimes he's got some interesting ones every once in a while, but he's usually like, he's got some pretty good ones. So I highly recommend you just kind of like, you know, in the mornings or whatever, just check out his picks, because he's usually got some cool ones.
He was definitely a great addition to the team, and he definitely puts out a lot of content for us. So Rob is great. You was talking about Bedlam Reveler, and you know, we even talked about it like the last, so he mentioned it, then we kind of brought it up last week, and then it finally kind of just happened. And my long con 8 month you know, mention of Goblin War, like 8 months ago, when, you know, Dredge was kind of like a thing, I was like, you know, this one list is playing Goblin War, and that's like a pretty good card, you know, no one's, I'll just kind of stash these away. And I know I mentioned it on a cast, so that finally took off, which was good.
I mean, you know, Chaz, if you take enough swings, you're eventually going to hit.
Like, dead, what's the, a dead clock is right twice a day or something like that?
Something like that.
I mean, if I have to hold, I mean, if I'm holding that down, that's okay. I think I'm doing okay for myself.
I want to chat with you about something else. I got super excited, and I'm sure that was very evident in the Discord, but so WotC's making this like mobile online battle arena.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead with this.
All right. So it was announced a couple days ago, that WotC is pairing up with this Korean game designer, or publisher. I don't remember the name of the company, the Korean company, but they are releasing a mobile battle arena, League of Legends, Dota style game. And I just lost my mind, because back when they first announced Arena, I was like, I'm really hoping this is a battle arena MOBA game. And it wasn't. It was a Hearthstone clone, to no one's surprise. But then they announced this, and I'm super amped about this, man. I think this is going to be – I'm actually way more excited about this than Arena, which a lot of people probably like, whatever. But
you're a hater.
I'm not a hater. Well, I'm kind of – I am kind of a hater on Arena. We can
talk you're a hater. It's okay.
But it looks awesome, man. And just part of the reason I'm so excited is because, you know, being here in Asia, I can tell you that, you know, when you're on the subways, you're walking around, I mean, these mobile games, particularly these battle arena games, are so insanely popular in this region. I mean, they're like crazy, crazy popular. So I'm really excited just because of the expanded awareness this is going to give the Magic brand. I think this was an excellent, excellent move. I know some people in the States or other places that were kind of like, they're late to the party. They're really not late to the party. This style of game is still incredibly hot. They're still very popular. There's a million of them around. But these games do very, very well. And Magic is such a strong IP that alone will separate it from the signal noise. So if you haven't checked out the news, I strongly check out a video. The video demo is sick, by the way. Did you get a chance to watch it, Chaz?
I did. I read through, actually, when you posted it. I'm actually very excited, too. I do think they're kind of riding the coattails a little bit. But that being said, I still think this is a very good move in terms of expanding their IP. Because let's face it, I mean, Magic, they should have been doing this, really. But I'm glad, you know, better late than never, I guess. I still think it can be successful. I mean, you still have like mobile, you're right. Like the mobile scene is still very popular, especially over like in Asia. I mean, a lot of stuff survives over in Asia. I mean, people still keep like StarCraft alive, for anyone that doesn't know like anything about games, but yeah, StarCraft is like still like a sport over there. That's how, you know, popular some of these games remain. So then that in and of itself is like probably why, you know, this is big news.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Like, but I do think they can, you know, muscle their way in there, and it can be a success in its own right. Because, you know, you still have like League of Legends, you have Heroes of the Storm, you have Dota 2, you have like these MOBA games, but then you still have like this MOBA game like on the, you know, mobile, and I've seen like ads for that too, and you know, people play it, people religiously play it, and it, you know, kind of took off. So this is very big for them, and it's great because Magic can definitely support, you know, these types of games. I mean, their IP can go anywhere they really want. That's how like broad their IP is, and like when you have you know, all these different characters that people can relate to, you know, and we talked about this a while ago, that, you know, they were kind of turning their planeswalkers into, you know, more of like a comic book character, comic book hero type role here, and that definitely lends itself to all these different IPs. So, yeah, good for them, and I'm actually excited. I don't know if I'll play it. I kind of wish they made like a PC version of this. I think that would have been super successful to release this for PC and mobile or something like that. But
Chaz, yeah, it's also because exciting. I don't think you haven't had a new phone since like 1999, right?
Yeah. yeah. So actually, I do have a 6S Plus now. I guess when you buy phones that are like 4 years old, you could get like good deals. But yeah. I like actually
Chaz, you admitted to us, I think it was like 6 months ago. You were like, yeah, I haven't had it. I'm still on my like flip phone from.
Yeah,
from
I was 90. On an iPhone 4, just a normal one. I don't really do like as crazy as that is, as much as I work with technology and, you know, I like $1,500 computer, you know, I go out, spend the $1,200 on my monitor. I don't like my phone was just like a relic, like literally. So. Finally, I mean, it was getting to the point where, you know, it like shut off randomly and, you know, it, yeah, I had to take it to like, Apple ER to like get it back. And it's like, so it like worked, but they're like, listen, like both of your sensors, I don't even know how this phone's on, like both of your sensors are fried. And like, you should probably like look into getting something new. So I was like, all right. And then like, you know, I got the 6S Plus because it's like big and, you know, that's pretty much what I want in a phone, like be able to read. That was like my biggest thing. It's like couldn't read anything. So
basically,
I'm
what Chaz
like,
is saying,
there.
Chaz is saying he won't play the Magic MOBA game because he'll do it. He'll like it'll yeah. be like he'll be looking at it going like what do I do with this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't even play Hearthstone on my phone, and like yeah, it's, I don't think it's gonna happen. Yeah, finally upgraded, only three generations behind. Yeah. That's like that's like my big upgrade. Like I pull out the 6S Plus now and people are just like, yeah, I don't know, what is that? But anyway,
but in any case,
yeah
man, it's
I'm
stoked.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. And, I think it's gonna be great.
So and also, you know, to your point about the IP, so I briefly worked at Riot Games. My brother works at Riot Games full time, which is they produce and create and produce League of Legends. And the heads there, I mean, most of the staff there is gamers, and everyone there, you know, is like, they love Magic and they think Magic, it has that, it has such a strong IP that Wizards really can't, if they execute correctly, they can take it anywhere. They can take it to a movies, they can take it to, you know, MOBAs, they can do all this stuff with it. Honestly, the brand is so strong that I don't even think the game has to be stellar. I don't think it has to be an amazing game. It just has to be like a solid, fun game. As long as it's good enough, that's fine. Like the Magic brand is so good. It's so strong.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't mean to sound too effusive about it, but I'm just really amped. And I honestly think that once that releases, I would not be surprised if we slowly start to, I mean, it has, this along with Arena, like these digital initiatives really have the potential of getting us to another player spike. I don't want to say spike, but another, you know, acceleration in the player growth. We get into another growth period, which I'd be really excited for.
You know how for the longest time we were like pretty much the only podcast talking about like the change in like the marketplace and, you know, this kind of turn and burn strategy and shorter term, like make sure you're keeping shorter term. Like we really drove the point home.
Yep.
We definitely, in terms of a finance cast, I'll say that. But in terms of a finance cast, again, this has kind of been like our new like secondary topic about, you know, how the IP is growing and how that can kind of trickle down into player growth, and ultimately that ends up being good for us. So I do agree with you a lot, and that's kind of why we mentioned this at least you know, every cast or every other cast or every few casts. We definitely try to keep it in people's minds that, you know, these things do directly or indirectly affect, you know, the day-to-day operations here and like how we operate, and in terms of, you know, people buying cards and being interested in the game. These are all big strides to, you know, grow that brand. And I do think, like you said, like it doesn't have to be a massive hit. They're not trying to compete with League of Legends, but exactly. I do think it can be successful in its own right.
In another chat that I'm in, Brian Dale, who's Jay Tempkin here, he actually posted a message from, I believe, the CEO, Digital, one or the other. And it was really interesting because they were quoted stating that in the future we're going to see a mix of paper and digital events. And sometimes even hybrid at like pro tours and professional events. That is just awesome. I mean, I think that's going to be really, really cool. And specifically, they called out Arena. So it looks like similar to Hearthstone, they're going to use Arena to platform. That is just like, how cool would it be to have a day one be an Arena based, day two paper based? Like, that's just great.
I know people have it's in beta. So this is why games go into beta and people can have their issues with Arena, but I do ultimately think it's going to be a huge net positive. And we talked about this, and I'll keep sticking to this. That is definitely where they see Arena going. And I'm not going to be surprised if we see Arena at the highest level of, pros literally playing on on computers, playing Arena right next to each other. So
exactly. This is a good question by Pop. He says, what are the chances that a MOBA player turns to paper tabletop play though?
They do have a tabletop, right? They do have a board game.
Oh no, he's saying basically asking if I'm a kid with MOBA, why am I going to care about paper? The reason why you're going to care about paper, right? So the reason why you're going to care about paper is, so, and it kind of goes back to, I sort of talked about this a while ago, but myself and the rest of us old fogey generation that grew up with Magic in the beginning, we became ingratiated with the game during our formative years through paper, right? And it became as I evolved as a quote unquote gamer, it was always part of it was a part of me, right? So this is the way that the new generation, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to ingratiate through the game through the mobile. And then as they get older, you're not going to want to play mobile games all the time. You're going to sit down, you want to be social, be with your friends, whatever. And these gamers are going to evolve and they're going to want to buy paper. That's just the argument from a gamer going from kid to adolescent. Not even just that, but kids just gamer people who like these games or who like games will then just naturally be interested in other aspects of the game. Like it just kind of happens, especially if it's a card game. If they go MOBA to Arena, where you're actually dealing with the cards, and then you go Arena to paper. Absolutely. Look, I'll tell you right now, if Hearthstone was in paper, I would check it out. Hell, I might even play more, right? But it's not. Yeah. But if it was, I absolutely would. So I think this is their means of getting, evolving with the times and having this sort of 360 gaming environment where you hit everybody from all vectors, right? You've got paper, you've got Arena, you've got MOBA. You're there. You've even got the board game, as crappy as I hear it is, but you've got everything. I think that is absolutely, that's an excellent move by them. I 100% think you're going to get people that port over.
I mean, you just look at the Pokemon TCG, right? Like they've had a digital and a paper aspect to their game for a while now. And I still, I still see folks talk about, going home and playing, the Pokemon TCG and going in, Friday nights to go, do whatever. You're never going to recreate the social aspect of playing a card game through digital. That's the whole point of paper, and they do exactly what you said. They're going to want to hit every sector, so there's always going to be a percentage of players. It might be still fairly large, it might diminish a little bit as the years go on, but there's still going to be a healthy percentage of players that want to go out on a Friday night and go draft and don't want to sit behind a computer screen. You can't recreate that social experience.
Yep. And I still strongly disagree with some perspectives that think that, this is Magic or Wizards slowly killing paper. I don't think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's too far gone, I guess, the best way to say it.
They'll merge the two. They're never going to get rid of paper. If anything, it'll end up being exactly like Pokemon before they ever get rid of paper entirely.
Yeah.
That's the way I would see it going before, they just can't, it's just part. So as I guess antique of an idea as it is at this point, it's still part of the game.
Well, yeah. And I mean, from a market perspective, you have so many card games that are thriving. Like you can't have the number one card go away when there's a huge market for card games. Like the math and logic doesn't make sense. So unless card games entirely die and Magic is the only one left standing, and then it's just not going to happen. There's too many variables that come into play that would have to happen for that to occur. So
I'm still saying hold out for Arena because I can't get into details, but I'm still very, very happy that Arena is a thing.
I think it's cool. I mean, I think it's cool that it's a thing, but after playing it, I am not impressed at all. I actually think Magic Online is better, as shocking as that is. That's in the beta. Well, I know it's in the beta. I get it. We're in the beta.
Yeah, they definitely have some changes to make. But I do think, like, it's going to be interesting. We could talk about it more on the next cast, but yeah. I'd like to have another longer conversation about Arena 2 because, you know, I was kind of very all in. I still am very happy and mostly all in on it. I do think they need to make some changes that hopefully they will make that will definitely keep me all in. But it's going to be a thing. Like, and I definitely see them taking it, you know, having it be part of like their kind of revision of their kind of digital space. So. It'll be interesting to see how they coexist for a while or however long that lasts or where they ultimately end up being with their kind of whole digital package there. Maybe they just never get rid of MTGO at all. So
I think we should have, in fact, we talked about this. We should have Nathaniel back on to revisit this. Just have another arena episode. Yeah, we'll do that.
So getting to the meat and potatoes here. So Tark, we had some pretty big increases via the Pro Tour. But let's talk about a few things that we're looking at this week.
Go for it.
You know, Pauper is still very much a thing. There's certain things, right? I see these cards increasing. There's definitely a plateau of where these hit that, you know, people are pushing back on buying these cards. They are commons after all. So you're not expecting, you know, unless they're really old, don't expect like, you know, crazy amount. You know, I know like it looks crazy when it, you know, goes off on MTG stocks, but you're not gonna get that, you know, return. So they're still great when you're buying them for like quarters and 50 cents and they end up turning around for a few bucks. That's still amazing. But you know, I think Pauper is definitely more than I gave it credit for. So it's still definitely a thing and they keep promoting it.
Yeah, I mean, this was said elsewhere, and it's a very good point. It's very salient, but you're basically buying bulk when you're buying Pauper or commons. So just keep that in mind. Like, I don't think this is necessarily Frontier because Pauper has been around way longer than Frontier. Frontier was like a flash in the pan thing. This actually has a pretty stable player base, but you're buying bulk commons. Like, they're commons, right? So just bear that in mind. I get it, the foils, and like, you know, they're rare and this and that, but they're commons. So just, you know, just be careful if you're like buying into Pauper as a thing. I mean, there's been a lot of spikes, and if you can take advantage of that, cool. I completely ignored it. I just it wasn't meaningful enough for me to buy into. But I know some people in QS and whatnot made some money, so that's good. But just be careful. You're buying commons, you know.
Yeah. So one thing. So in terms of just Pauper, I like to at least try to branch off into every kind of avenue here. I really liked Quirion Ranger. Quirion Ranger? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. And not just because it's a green card. Huh?
Did Sig call that or did
Yeah, Sig actually talked about it. I've been watching it for a while. There's not a lot of copies under $3 left. And this is just one of those rare commons rather that just has not been reprinted in a very long time. I'm very skeptical with Masters 25 right around the corner. This is definitely a card that could easily be in there. No question.
I'm glad you said that. So Marrow stated that they do look at Pauper when in reprint sets, FYI. Yeah. He publicly stated that in his blog. So, I mean, they literally go, what's going on in Pauper that we may want to reprint? So, I mean, these staples, again, be careful with these staples because they do watch Pauper and they consider it in their reprint decisions. So
I at least wanted to highlight it, but I really like the card. You know, with Valor reprint,
got into that, and I think some people did well off that already.
Yeah, people are doing well, but I do think it has still room to grow. I think it can end up being like an $8 to $10 common. I mean, it's from Visions, and its only other printing is an FNM promo foil that's at like $30. So this is definitely one of those Pauper singles that can get there. But I would not be deep into this until after if it dodges a Masters 25 reprint, then all bets are off.
Yeah, that's probably a good one if it doesn't get reprinted, at least short term. But again, just be careful because if the Pauper craze dies down, then you know what's going to happen with Quirion Ranger. I'm not sure, but isn't Quirion Ranger is played in like a lot of casual? Yeah,
it's like
areas of the game.
It's a pretty hard elf staple, so
yeah, I like that one. It's good.
At least in Pauper, I think it's played and constructed. I can't remember if it's played anymore. But so that was when I looked that I really liked. Another is that I noticed is this. Now, I don't know if you definitely tune into older cards a lot more than I do. I mean, talk about the reserve list all the time, but this is not really a reserve list. But what's the deal with all these like random beta cards? Like, I understand the kind of, you know, aura around it, and like, you know, these are beta cards, they're specifically for collectors, but like, there's just been random stuff. It seems random, like Psionic Entity and Teleport. I mean, what, and Wall of Opposition, like just really random legends, some alpha beta stuff. They're not necessarily reserve list cards.
Yeah, no, I mean,
that's not a reserve list card.
Not a reserve list card, but again, like, you know, I mentioned this before. I mean, basically these cards are like soft reserve lists. I know you were kind of like, we both sort of were on this, but like these cards are basically soft reserve lists. So why the random ones? Honestly, I think it's probably somebody that sees low supply and goes, well, let me just dive on in there. Right. I mean, cause you can kind of do that now, unfortunately. Like you can, you know, if you see, I don't know, Half Dane or whatever, and you're like, oh wow, there's not many on TCG Player, let me buy them. I mean, that can happen. And, you know, beta in particular, and like these old cards have been the topic of a lot of discussion the past year. And, you know, with certain other content producers, we don't need to name names, but, you know, that just love this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of attention on these cards. And I just think that just makes all this stuff more prone. I think because there's more attention, that means more of this random stuff is prone to show up, because some of this stuff is so limited in supply that if somebody just buys something, it's going to show up, right? Or it's going to
that's
cause
definitely
a stir.
True.
So I basically, short answer to what you're saying, I don't think that there's a recognizable pattern outside of their old cards, and old cards have been hyped for like the past year. So I think that's pretty much it. I just think people are going, well, you know,
I saw the crazy spike on Teleport. I actually picked like a couple of them up. I had one from Legends. I picked up two more at like $2 just to see like, you know, if it turns out great, if not, like whatever, it's $4. Haven't sold them yet, so I will get back to you. So I don't know if a lot of these are sticking, not sticking. I saw another insider sell. Actually, they have sold the Wall of Opposition. I saw that more recently. So it's very random on what people, what is spiking, then what actually, on top of that, people are actually buying after the spike. Because it's like very, seems like very random cards.
Yeah, also kind of interesting, but I've noticed buy lists, I don't say they're ticking up, but I see them more often than not, which is Chronicles cards, which is hilarious to say because it's Chronicles. But believe it or not, Chronicles is now incredibly old, and actually not, the supply isn't as plentiful as people think. Yeah, there's a lot of it out there, but and everybody hates it. But believe it or not, I mean, it's Chronicles is going to go through the cycle of everything else where it's just going to start to age, and those cards, I mean, most of the cards haven't reprinted outside of Chronicles. So don't be surprised if you start to see Chronicle cards slowly start to creep up. I mean, I actually think it would be interesting, maybe I'll ask Sig about this, to like maybe go take a look at Chronicles and see what's going on. But I've noticed the buy lists are high, but I've just noticed like Card Kingdom is just randomly buying these Chronicles, or Channel Fireball is like buying Chronicles cards. I mean, these cards have value. So outside of like City of Brass, obviously. But yeah, really interesting. So, you know, I'm not saying to go out there and start scooping up cards, but you might want to just like, you know, take a look at them and, you know, keep on.
So just really quickly again, I just want, so cards like you know, Vivictus Asmadi, or you know, some of these old Legends rares, like Legends that, I mean, we talked about this a lot when this whole like reserve list thing was going on, but, and we kind of extended that, we're like, you know, all these cards are pretty old, and I don't think a lot of them, even if they're not on the reserve list, they're pretty much pseudo reserve list. Like, I just don't see them printing these kind, like, you know, I think they did reprint like Axelrod Grunarsson. I think that was a time shifted card, I think. Maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking that wrong. Pretty sure it was, but
Axelrod Gunnarsson. Let's see. Nope. It's just Chronicles and Legends.
Yeah. I mean, some of these cards, I mean, there's no way they're printing stuff like that anymore.
No, I mean, you know, I say this all the time, but
I mean, are those good? I mean, like less than $5 some of these are. I mean, these are really interesting, you know, very old, you know, kind of, you know, they have the old border. They're legends. So obviously they have some appeal in terms of like EDH, just for those folks that just like playing with these types of cards. I mean, are we liking a lot of these under like, you know, $5?
I do. And I don't know about Axelrod, something like Axelrod Gunner specifically, because that one in particular is like $3 as a Chronicle card. So I'm not sure. Like the ones that were reprinted in Chronicles, 100%. I think those are, especially the cheaper the better with the Legends, like Legends, Arabian Nights, Antiquities. If you can get any of those that are really a low cost, yeah, like I think they're absolutely buys. I think they're great. Because the thing is, like, I said this before.
So, if they were printed in Chronicles, you don't like them as much.
If they're printed in Chronicles and
but you still don't like buying the Legends version?
I think there's better buys. I think a non-reprint has the likelihood to show a return quicker than a Chronicles reprint. Now the interesting thing is
like even
the interesting thing to consider is like what is the spread between the Chronicle and the Legend, and do I believe the Chronicles can catch up? Yes, I think if there's room to fill in pricing, I think there's opportunity in Chronicles. So that kind of goes to my Chronicles point. Like it's been interesting to see Chronicles on buy lists. So I think that these ones you're describing that have Chronicles reprints, I'm almost more interested in Chronicle reprint if it's got a wide enough spread. Which I have to be honest, we're talking about this now, and I haven't done the research enough to see. But like gaps between the Chronicles, I think there is room for the Chronicles to grow, which will then lead to eventually Legends kind of scaling up, that makes sense, right?
That's
kind of my prediction. If it does have Chronicles reprint, I think they're awesome buys. It's a long era. Like that is a moment in time that's like out, you know, beginning of Magic. It's never gonna be like that again. We're never going back to that. Like you just might as well get these cards. They are going to go up. I mean, I hate to sound like other certain people, but these cards are just going to keep going up. People are just going to end up buying them out eventually. They're going to just go up. It's just going to happen. Antiques. They're basically like antiques. Yeah.
I mean, we brought all these points up before. I was just kind of re-looking at these again because I just keep seeing them because, I mean, obviously, so that's like kind of holding its weight here. And then, you know, if you just kind of look in on some of these graphs, I mean, and these are cards that pretty much held their value for like the last 5 years and probably longer than that. And then suddenly just start moving up because, you know, people just kind of like these, you know, picking these up. They realize they're old. You know, a lot of them do have Chronicles. I mean, I'm looking at one, Aisha Tanaka right here. I mean, it does have a Chronicles printing, but hasn't stopped, you know, folks in the past year start picking up a card like this. I mean, it's held literally at like $2 for 5 years. What?
I'll give you a good one. I think Ashnod's Altar. I know Ashnod's Altar has a couple printings, but that card is such a staple in casual circle. That's a good Chronicles one. That's like under $3 as a Chronicles card. I would buy those. It's like a staple, isn't it? A staple in EDH, I think, and it's just everywhere in casual. That's a good card to pick up. I like Ashnod's Altar, and it always just kind of creeps up. I mean, here actually on interest, Ashnod's Altar went up like 2%. So.
Yeah, it's definitely been a pretty hard staple.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I've definitely seen some interesting ones over the past week. Selvala stamp or the conspiracy one is now up to $20. Selvala still Stampede went from basically bulk to like $2. Really quickly, Efren said, Cool Stuff Inc. said on Twitter that they are holding regular Pauper events now and are getting a lot of players. Yeah, they said that they fired them over this past weekend, got like 30 people in every single time. So they're going to be doing that for each one of their like 7 locations. So everyone's just kind of jumping in on this Pauper bandwagon.
Yep. But to your point about beta, Chaz, I think that honestly, if you can find like clean near mint copies, anything under $10, anything under $5 is almost like an auto buy. Anything under $10 is I would strongly consider, because again, I mean, there's just it's literally for no other reason that these cards, there's been a lot of hype around these cards now, and that's just kind of what it is. I wouldn't get them graded necessarily. I don't think you need to get like a random beta common graded. I guess you could, but I don't think there's any reason to. But I mean, look, I honestly, if I had the time, just money to throw away on pure luxury, I would love to have a full set. I'd love to have a full playset of beta. That would be so cool. Like I know I'm not the only one that thinks that way. So, you know, the Sigs of the world and everyone that's into the old stuff is just going to move in on this stuff. So, anyways, long story short, I think they are good buys. I think Chronicles is something that's interesting to revisit and take a look at, particularly the ones that are very cheap compared to American counterparts. Yeah, maybe
we'll see if Sig can look into that, see if it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mentioned Query and Ranger. You had what?
Are we going to move into picks?
Yeah, I kind of... Okay. That's definitely one. Now, again, that's definitely bearing Masters 25, so... If it's a Masters 25, obviously it's bad, but this is me liking the card post Masters 25. If it's not in there, I'd say go wild on the there's no way this card is going to remain under $5 if this is not reprinted. It's from Visions. It's always been a card that's been seen that has seen play. It has gradually increased over the last couple of years, start of 2018 maybe. Okay, so Pauper is definitely driving it up a little bit, but over 2014 to 2015, 16, 17, it's done nothing but increase. So, could definitely maintain like an $8 to $10 mark if it's not reprinted.
Okay, so my pick, well, I have a couple, but one of my picks is a Rise of the Eldrazi card called Cast Through Time. Super interesting card. Foils are almost non-existent, and they're only like $9. Non-foils are very cheap. They're like around $2, between $2 and $3. Single printing, it has to do with it's okay. So instant and sorcery spells you control have rebound. I don't think rebound. The fact that it specifically has that keyword and that ability, I don't think this is going to get reprinted anytime soon because I don't think they're going to revisit rebound anytime soon. Of course, I could be wrong, and this shows up in M25 as a mechanic, but I don't think so. I really like this card. There's more of the non-foils that are out there, but the foils are almost not like $9. I've seen it creep up on buy lists. So yeah, I really like this one. It's kind of a super cool casual card. So that is my non-reserve list pick. And then of course, my reserve pick.
I also had another one for Pauper. I mean, if Pauper is going to remain, remain popular, at least Pauper popular, at least for a little while. I don't think it's like a fad because people just have played Pauper. Like, this is not like something that's new. I think it's just got a ton more attention in the paper aspect because this has been mostly an MTGO format because it's like really dirt cheap on there. But now that kind of like it's kind of moving its way into paper, I do think I don't think it's going to peter out anytime soon. I think there will be some interest going forward. I also like, it's from Darksteel, so this is a common, Chittering Rats.
Yeah.
It's a, I just literally just went on to Goldfish, top cards and Pauper. I mean, it's not, like, this is not like rocket science here, but I do think it's like kind of one of those cards that have been, not looked at yet. It's like a top creature in the format. It's an old card at this point. It's from Darksteel. Foils are about $4. I like foils, but non-foils are starting to get some interest. And they can still be picked up around 50 cents or less.
This is a rat deck and Pauper, right?
I think this is for mono black control, but I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if rats was a deck in Pauper or not.
Yeah, mono black and blue black. Yeah. Another interesting one, I saw the foils pop. It looks like the paper ones finally popped too, so I'm a little late on this, so I'm probably not even going to mention it, but I will anyway. Curse of Chains, very good card in Pauper, but that's already pretty much increasing at this point. So, yeah, I saw some other interesting ones through the week. This is not Pauper related, but I don't have them in front of me, so I'll just mention it on Discord.
Cool.
But yeah, it's going to be Query and Ranger and Chittering Rats, if you're still listening, Guillaume. I don't know if he is. I don't think he is.
Okay, so my reserve list pick this week is from Urza's Legacy. It's called Second Chance. So the foils are like $40. The non-foil is like 50 cents. And it's ridiculous. So it seems to be a decent amount. It's about 5 pages to sell it, but there's just no reason. I mean, this is a 50 reserve $40 foil. Makes no sense to me. Cool card, obviously, and legacy. But I mean, just based on the multiplier alone, I mean that's crazy. There's literally a copy. I guess most of them are like around $1.50, I guess. That's super low. So I really like Second Chance. That is my reserve. So I'm on Tapestry Time, a foil, half foil, and I'm on Second Chance.
You're turning into a robot, Tarkbot. I like that one.
Have you heard now? Am I good?
Hopefully. Am I bad? But I gave him the TLDR is basically just Second Chance. So okay. I got it.
I still a robot, or am I good? Unstable. Unstable boxes. Good. I'm glad somebody brought that up. So the second print run, my knowledge is little to non-existent. It's not being printed for overseas. I can tell you that much. And as far as I've heard, it's extremely limited print run for the second wave. I had called 150 boxes, $1 boxes. I'm still on the track. So if you can get them at $100 or less, which probably is hard. I would say go for it. I think our $150 boxes within, I'll be aggressive and say 12 months. I think I said that before, but I'll be aggressive and say within a year, you're going to hit $100. So yeah, hook you up with boxes, Tarp. Man, I wish I could, man, but they're, I can't get them like I used to be able to. So.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
Yeah. What about the lands? What about the lands? Oh, like the full arts? That's interesting, actually. With little reprint, the foils are obviously they're gonna hold their value because they were like masterpiece level rarity before, right? So yeah, I think they're great. You mean the non foils? Yeah, why not? I mean, you got one every pack, but the big concern was the supply, right? The run was limited. The second wave is limited. Yeah, go for it. I mean, I think they're long term. I don't think they're gonna spike or anything anytime soon, but people like them. Sure. Especially, they're cool to play with too. So, yeah. I mean, basically with Unstable, all the fears that were surrounding the second wave can now be kind of, I've been assuaged. So you can kind of like move in on whatever you wanted, right? If you want to get a box because you think it's going to go up, I think they're going to go up. If you want to get the full arts because they've got some, they're going to hold their value or go up over time, I think you're good.
Okay. All right, Tark. That was, we can wrap it up there. Very good cast. Any kind of last things? Last second questions, last second comments. Any last minute
yes,
thoughts there?
Yes. I hope you guys are seeing Trader Tools is slowly improving. I know it's slow, but I have particularly, I always pay attention to the help desk. The requests and sort of the questions and such have slowly started to go down, which is good. We're doing what we can. Just keep in mind, everybody, most of the staff is part timers. They have full time jobs, so we're doing, people are doing what they can, but. There's a couple quirks. Just so you guys know, the search bar, so we had brought this up. So Tyler has introduced sort of a new search tool. So on the homepage, the quietspeculation.com homepage, you may not be able to right now search for cards, but all you have to do is go into Trader Tools, just click the Trader Tools tab, click on the magnifying glass, and just hit your whatever card you want to look up, and they should all populate. As always, if you have issues, you have concerns, hit us up in the help desk. But they're diligent, they're doing what they can. We are going to Gamma, which is a huge retailer conference show in March. There's stuff that I can't just talk about right now, but there's some major developments with Ion and that software that. That will likely be announced at Gamma. Again, I don't want to put it out there, but there's a lot of good stuff happening with Ion. So for those who use the scanner and those who use Ion Retail, a lot of cool things are happening. Trader Tools, just bear with us. I know it's been slower than we all expected, but they're chipping away at it. So I really appreciate you guys' patience. And anytime you guys want, hit up the help desk. I promise I check it, and I forward everything on as soon as I can. So that's it.
Awesome. I missed them if you made them really digging the new search feature. Oh, yeah. So G-Tutor. So Tarkan talked about Second
Cast
Chance.
Through time. Second yep, Chance, non-foil, and Cast Through Time, foil and non-foil.
Foil. Yeah. I liked Quirion Ranger. It's a Visions Common. And Chittering Rats, foil and non-foil. It's been a pretty big staple card, and both of them, honestly, have been very big staples in Pauper. But those are very contingent, and can't stress this enough, very contingent on Masters 25. I would not be hoarding them until after I saw, the final card revealed of Masters 25, and neither of them are in there. I would definitely stock up on them.
Yep, because remember, they're commons, so they could wait till the end. They could wait till the very end.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Ooh. All right, folks, that is going to do it for tonight. got a little crazy there, but I think we're okay at least for now. But we'll see Monday. Hopefully, maybe we can get a cast that day, Tarkan. But Monday is definitely going to be an interesting one. Hopefully, nothing happens and I don't have to like scramble and like, crazy stuff. But, yeah. All right. Good night, everyone. Any comments? What?
I think that's just Jersey. Efren. Yeah, that's just Efren.
Get out of here with that
being.
I give him the what is it? The emojis. The he kept bugging me. Not really bugging me, but
Discord emojis.
The Discord emojis, and finally give them to him, and he just goes crazy with them. There he goes.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, everyone. That is going to do it for this week. Tark, where can they find you on the internet?
I'm at @the_Tark on Twitter. I also do some work with the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there. And as usual, I'm in Discord and with QS.
Yep, you can find my work at Quiet Speculation every week. You can find me here on the podcast, but the best place to find me is on the QS Insider Discord. All right, folks, that is going to wrap it up. So this is going to be the QS cast signing out. Good night.
See you. Good night.